This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Lehman's Lament. Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski. U.S. Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson is, quote, adamant that no government money will be used in any deal resolving the crisis at Wall Street investment bank Lehman Brothers. This comes just now from a source familiar with his thinking. Lehman's shares are down about 10% right now. They fell more than 40% yesterday. It's hurting, to say the least. On a conference call a few days ago, the company said it wanted to sell off some of its assets, but several reports today say the entire company is officially up for sale. Marketplace's Janet Babin has the latest from North Carolina Public Radio.
Confidence in Lehman Brothers has eroded so much that many analysts say a sale is the only way to save the firm. Analyst Richard Beauvais at Ladenburg Thalmann says Bank of America is the likely buyer. Other reports cite HSBC or Barclays, but both have kept their distance. Several reports say the U.S. Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve are engaged in the rescue effort. Finance professor James Angel at Georgetown University says a tanked Lehman Brothers would be Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke's biggest nightmare.
A disorderly failure of a big firm would spin out of control and create a domino effect, causing other firms to fail and a general freezing of the financial sector.
But some analysts say the government should stay out of a Lehman bailout. We all might know what happens by Monday. Reuters reports that a sale could be finalized by then. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Cash registers around the country weren't making a lot of cha-ching sounds last month. Retail numbers out this morning show an unexpected drop in sales for August. Economists were counting on sales to rise. Take that along with the what's up with Lehman question, and you have this. The Dow is down 145 points, about 1 2/10%. The Nasdaq is down 1 1/3%, 30 points to 2228. The S&P 500 also down 13 points to 1235, just above 1%. European shares are mostly higher, and it was a mix in Asia today. We learned today wholesale inflation plunged in August by the largest amount in nearly 2 years. This reflects a steep drop in gasoline and other energy prices. Oil prices are above $102 a barrel today. That's almost $2 higher than yesterday. Hurricane Ike is the culprit. Companies along the Texas coast have shut down refining and drilling operations. Now, the Department of Energy is taking a look today at other ways to get oil and natural gas. There's a lot of energy potential in things like shale, tar sands, and coal beds. But as Mitchell Hartman explains, there are also a lot of questions about the costs of bringing it up.
The Department of Energy estimates there's at least 10 years' worth of natural gas for the whole country stored in shale and coal seams from Texas to Pennsylvania. And geologists think there could be as much oil trapped under Colorado, Utah, and Wyoming as we've extracted so far in all of human history. The problem is this oil and gas is stuck in non-porous rock, so it doesn't flow up wells easily. The gas has to be flushed out. The oil has to be heated deep in the ground, all of which requires a lot of water and energy and costs a lot of money. But new technology is bringing that cost down, says Jerry Boak of the Colorado School of Mines.
Shell is on record in Fortune magazine as having said they believe they can produce oil from oil shale at $25 to $30 a barrel.
But environmentalists ask whether we should be using limited groundwater for oil and gas extraction, and some say we shouldn't even try to get at these new fossil fuels since they'll just release more carbon into a warming atmosphere. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This is the Morning Report for Friday, September 12th on Marketplace.org. The FDA is warning consumers against buying Chinese-made baby formula at ethnic markets. Tainted infant formula has been linked to the death of one baby in China. Dozens of others are hospitalized with severe kidney ailments. Chinese formula is not approved to be sold in the U.S., but the FDA wants Americans to keep a watch out in case it turns up illegally. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong has more.
China's top baby formula company says it found the chemical melamine in its product. Melamine is found in pesticide, and it acts as a fake protein in food testing. The same substance turned up last year in Chinese exported pet food that killed American dogs and cats. The formula company is called Sanlu, and today an official blamed the crisis on, quote, evil dairy suppliers for providing tainted milk. For now, the scare is in China. But Sean Ryan of China Market Research says the reputation of every Chinese export is once again on the line.
It could transfer not just into the baby formula sector, but also seafood, toys, and other items that are exporting from China. So it's a real issue here.
Beijing has issued a nationwide recall and probe, and it warned violators would face serious punishment. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Today is the last day of Fashion Week in New York. Apparently, purple is the it color this fall. But it is green that's pushing sales at Fashion Week. A rather pale green. From New York, Sally Herships reports.
The U.S. dollar looks a little washed out these days. That may be a blow to American national pride. But Arnold Carr of Women's Wear Daily says it could be good for U.S. designers' bottom lines.
American goods do become more affordable to European buyers and, you know, buyers in other markets that have, seen their currencies strengthen against the dollar.
Designers could sell more clothes as overseas shoppers take advantage of exchange rates, says Mary Ellen Gordon of Glamour magazine. But, she says, many American collections are produced in Europe and Asia, so the clothes are getting more expensive to make.
So it's not as though they should be running around, you know, throwing parties thinking they're millionaires suddenly because they've got bigger orders from existing retail customers, or perhaps they have orders for the first time from some stores in Europe or Asia that they had never dealt with before.
Gordon says smart designers are taking the global economy's measurements and preparing for the effects of a slowdown on the fashion business. In New York, I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
From the panhandler on the street to the worker hitting up the boss for a raise, it's not easy begging green. These days, raising needed funds is proving especially difficult overseas. Many British nonprofits are finding themselves without their usual sources for money, partly for cultural reasons. The Tate Modern in London, for example, recently unveiled designs for a new gallery without the money to build it. As Christopher Worth reports, Brits are finding out raising cash is more of an art form, so to speak, on this side of the Atlantic.
On a recent evening, nearly 50 fundraisers gathered in London to discuss how to tap into all that money that's floating around in the city's financial service industry. And the conversation, inevitably, turns to one question. Why are the Americans so good at getting others to open their wallets? Moira Doyle is with Richmond Associates, a recruiting firm for fundraisers. She says that with big cuts in public funding, the equation for raising money has changed.
Fundraising and particularly corporate sponsorship used to be seen as the icing on the cake, and it now really is the cake.
Doyle says her clients want Americans and Canadians because they know how to ask for money. Her firm has recruited 80 in Britain in the past 5 years, with nearly half of those just in the last 24 months. The British may speak the same language, but it's not just the accent that's different.
I think British people do find it more difficult to ask for money than Americans. And sometimes British people prefer someone to be straightforward and ask them. Whereas if a Brit's asking a Brit, it may go on forever.
Shannon Callahan is one of those straight-shooting Americans. She moved to London a couple of years ago and is now the head of major giving at the Kew Foundation, part of Britain's Royal Botanical Gardens.
For the British, it's generally distasteful to talk about money. But an American can get away with it because, well, the British just assume we don't know any better. There's sort of a rolling of the eyes like, oh, she's American.
But there are some divides that the brash American sensibility just can't do anything about. Europe doesn't offer the same tax incentives for charitable giving. In the U.S., donating money is a write-off for the donor. But as Callahan points out,
in this country, the charity receives the benefit.
Tax laws can also vary from country to country, making cross-border giving another hurdle. In some cases, tax rates can climb up to 90%, although the European Union has been putting pressure on member states to smooth out those differences. In London, I'm Christopher Wirth for Marketplace.
Americans subscribe to a cell phone service. With a number like that, you'd think we're all pretty eager to reach out and touch someone. Well, maybe not. As Rebecca Shear reports from Boston, there's more opportunity than ever in the business of avoidance.
Entrepreneur Gavin McCumber had a question.
Have you ever wanted to call somebody and just prayed that they wouldn't answer the phone so you could just leave them a quick voicemail?
So he came up with a solution. It's called SlyDial.
Ready to SlyDial someone? Enter their mobile phone number now.
The service makes sure your overly chatty friend or boring relative doesn't pick up.
SlyDial is now connecting you to this person's voicemail.
McCumber's company, MobileSphere, has noticed that more and more people are trying to avoid potentially awkward or tedious conversations. But should you find yourself in such a conversation, you can always visit sorrygottago.com, where you click one of 50-plus background noises to create the perfect excuse for getting off the phone. Some more perfect than others. Then, for those not-so-comfy face-to-face situations, there's Popularity Dialer.
This is Mr. Johnson calling from the office.
Where you schedule a pre-recorded call on your cell phone.
There's a big puddle of black ink coming out of the photocopier.
To serve as the perfect excuse for getting on the phone and out of a boring meeting, say, or a bad date.
I can't say that that's necessarily a good reflection of where we're heading with our technology and our personal relationships.
Scott Campbell is a professor specializing in mobile communications at the University of Michigan.
I think that it's just as much a matter of gaining control over your communication with others as it is a matter of maybe being cowardly.
It's all about boundary management, Campbell says, since we're so accessible these days to anyone, anywhere, at any time. And he believes the creators of these applications are pretty savvy to pick up on that. Just as long, of course, as we don't stop communicating altogether. Oh, I'm sorry. Gotta go. It's time to feed the dog. Never mind that I don't actually have one in Boston. Sparky, I'll be there in a minute. I'm Rebecca Shear for Marketplace.
You know, there are also times when you'd love to talk more, but you honestly just don't have the time. Like right now in Los Angeles, I'm Renita Jablonski.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.